We're kicking off this series called Bend, Don't Break. Bend, Don't Break. And we're doing this on Mother's Day because, from my perspective, motherhood takes a lot of resilience. Motherhood takes a lot of responsibility and flexibility. Motherhood takes some perseverance. And so, from my perspective, I think that moms are under constant inner pressure. I think they tend to beat themselves up and they have this heightened awareness of their own inadequacies. Like, I've never met a mom ever who's like, I'm totally crushing motherhood. I'm probably the best mom of all time. I've never met that mom. No, moms are under constant pressure. They seem to be under this constant tension. Moms seem to have those thoughts and they question themselves. Like, they'll say, am I a good mom? Am I making a difference? Am I messing them up? And if I am, how much therapy is it going to take to get them unmessed up? Moms worry about stuff like that. Moms are under constant comparison, and they compare themselves with like some made-up version on social media. They'll have anxiety about their kids. Like, how are my kids dressed? How are my kids grade? Are my kids going to find someone? Moms, they go through a lot. And so we're kicking off this series of mental health on Mother's Day, not because we think it's the perfect Mother's Day gift. My advice, get your mom a gift still, right? But because at some point in our life, we'll all struggle with mental health. And so as a church, how can we learn to bend and not break when in regards to our mental health? And I know even today for Mother's Day, for some it can be a trigger because Mother's Day has a whole bunch of like emotional baggage maybe attached to it. Maybe for you today is a reminder that your mom isn't here. Or no matter how hard you tried, you never got your shot at being a mom. For some, today is just a painful reminder of what was not or maybe will never be again. And even if you aren't a mom or you didn't have a good mom, it all brings all kinds of mental attacks. So it's my prayer that no matter what you're going through today, if you are a mom, want to be a mom, gonna be a mom, miss your mom, or had a mom, that's everyone, we want to help you lean forward in faith this Mother's Day. My prayer is that you would leave today blessed by God's word. Because if we're honest with ourselves, Jesus follower or not, we can acknowledge that there's a war waging in the minds of every single one of us. We all are attacked by our own inadequacies. We all fight with our own insecurities. In fact, it doesn't matter what age or stage you're in, we all have this soundtrack of negative self-talk going on in our mind. And when that happens, not if that happens, I think a majority of us deal with it the same way. And we think, hey, we can just keep it together until. If I can just hold on until that project at work is over. If I can keep it going, if I can hold on until the kids get out of this age or stage that they're currently in, I can manage this until I've got some more time or until the exam is finished or the class is finished, until we figure out what's going on with our spouse or until we can get more sleep. I'll hang on until the market turns around. And we think that if we can just hold on until, if we can just bend until, we can steer our life to get everything and everyone where they need to be. I can just hold on until. But the reality is, with so many of us at that mindset, is we hold on until and we feel overwhelmed, attacked, overextended, overworked, and overexposed. And I don't know, so how do we get to a place where you can bend and not break? See, it doesn't matter if you follow Jesus or not. This is something that every single one of us is going to have to figure out because every single one of us has gone through, are going through, or loves someone who is struggling with mental health. In fact, the World Health Organization says this, the global prevalence of anxiety and depression has increased 25% since the pandemic's arrival in early 2020. Recent surveys reveal that there's a radical downturn in attitudes and soaring levels of anxiety and worry on every front. In fact, if you look at the national stats, it says the number one issue for women in the country is anxiety. And the number two issue for men is anxiety, right behind their number one issue, drugs and alcohol, which I really think is just masking their number one issue that is anxiety. Right? But drugs and alcohol have been used to the point that that's a larger problem. Now, this might surprise you, but mental health disorders are the leading cause of disability worldwide, affecting one in five. One in five, and that percentage is only growing. In fact, Gen Z, those born between 1999 and 2015, Gen Z, studies show that Gen Z is the most stressed out generation to ever live. In fact, in recent years, the numbers of high school students who say they've experienced persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness has risen from 26% to 44%. It's the highest levels of sadness ever recorded. So if you're in this age group, you need to hear this right now. You are not alone. You're not alone. And if you're not in this age group, this should break our hearts. 50% of parents said that they've noticed an increase in sadness, anxiety, depression in their teens since the pandemic. I mean, so many children and young adults, fearful, sad, hopeless, and struggling with life. And as a result, suicide has become an epidemic. In fact, suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people from 10 to 24. I'm telling you, this is a really, really big deal in America right now. In fact, the National Alliance of Mental Health, way back in 2019, before the pandemic, found that nearly one in five experienced a mental illness in any given year. Like one, two, three, four, five, and if it's not you, it's someone sitting next to you. I'm telling you, if you or someone you love struggling, 43.8 million people in America could raise their hands and say, me too. You're not alone. And get this, that statistic was before the fear and isolation of a global pandemic. So I'm sure that number is much higher now. So for far too long, the church has been silent on mental illness all the time we are at war. And odds are, not only do you know someone struggling with mental health, you love someone struggling with mental health. Now, I got permission to say what I'm going to say next, but for my family, mental health isn't just something that I'm talking about. It's something that some of the people I love struggle with every day. In my own house, we go through these mental struggles daily. And so this series isn't me just preaching to you about how you should live your life. No, it's me preaching to me and my family and my loved ones, reminding all of us, encouraging all of us that when we surrender our lives to Jesus, he can actually lead us to a place where we can bend and not break. There is relief found in Jesus. And so before we dive in, I just have to ask you, where would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? Where would you rate yourself? I'm doing well, I'm feeling free, to maybe I struggle, it's a storm, but it's only a season, I know it's temporary, to I'm overwhelmed, underprepared, and the verge of breaking. In fact, even if you never decide to actually talk about it out loud, I think you owe it to yourself to rate yourself. How are you doing up here? And if you don't follow Jesus, I'm telling you, this is something you got to figure out before life breaks you. But if you follow Jesus, what we're going to learn today is that God has a track record of bringing hope and healing to those who actually follow him. One of the things that we need to understand out of the gate for the next month is simply this. The major factors in mental health are biological, environmental, and circumstantial. Biological, environmental, and circumstantial. Biological means something passed down. Right? Something chemical in all of us, in our makeup. It is biological. Environmental means we're placing ourselves in the environment, surrounding ourselves by a toxic pattern to our mental health. And part of the problem is some of you don't have the choice. I mean, my mind goes to all of the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the police, the paramedics, the firefighters who are there every time they hear bad news. And that can numb you and overwhelm you. Another factor is circumstantial. Like, what do you do when things are out of your control? What do you do when the circumstances of life affect your mental health? See, we have to acknowledge that the major factors of mental health are biological, environmental, and circumstantial. Now, you might be wondering, okay, that's great, Josh, but what does Jesus do with people who struggle with mental health? Like, we're at church, so what does Jesus do with people who actually struggle with mental health? And when you investigate Jesus, you will discover all over the New Testament how Jesus responded and treated and cared for people. And you'll find very clearly this, that Jesus's ministry extended way beyond just trying to get souls into heaven. No, Jesus was actually concerned about the whole person. In fact, Matthew shows us that Jesus sought them out. Jesus searched for them and found them. He wrote down his experience. It says this, that Jesus traveled, meaning he left where he was to go find people. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news. I've got good news about the kingdom. Now this is important. And he healed how many kinds? Every kind. He healed every kind of disease and illness. So every kind. It doesn't say that he only healed the physical things. He didn't say he just healed the broken bones, the blind eyes, and the deaf ears. No, Matthew says every kind, which would include mental health. News about him spread as far as Syria, and the people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease was, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, what did he do? He healed them all. He healed them all. And so what does Jesus do with people who struggle with mental health? This is a really big deal. He found them, he healed them, he loved them. In fact, the very name of Jesus in Hebrew means Yeshua, which can be translated rescue. I'm telling you, this whole Christianity thing, from the very beginning, this was a rescue mission. So I don't know what happened to you the last time you were hurting and you came limping into a church, but you need to know that from the very beginning, people took all of their hurts and habits and hangups to Jesus, believing that Jesus could actually change everything for everyone. Get this, from the very beginning, people nothing like Jesus loved Jesus. And this is important. Jesus loved them back. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9, it says he, Jesus, went and saw the crowd. So, and when he saw the crowd, did he shame them or judge them or reject them? What did he do? No, he had compassion on them because they were what? Confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I'm telling you, when it comes to this question right here, this is so important. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So however Jesus responds, that's how God would respond. Whatever Jesus does, that's exactly what God would do. And Jesus was full of compassion. He finds them, he heals them, he rescues them, and he loves them. And so, what's in your life today that's not right? What is in your life that's not right that you've not brought to Jesus because you thought he wouldn't accept you? You thought that he would reject that part of you. What are you dealing with in your life right now that you've not brought to Jesus because you thought he wouldn't take care of that? Now, I'm not faulting you, because from as long as I can remember, the Big C Church's response to mental health has been to blame the person struggling. They'll say stuff like, you just need some more faith, or you just need some more willpower. And what do? They ignore the biological and the environmental factors and suggest that your mental health is simply a lack of faith, which is crazy. Because if I broke my arm playing basketball, not one of you in here would say that there was something wrong with my faith. No one would tell me that God was punishing me or that God was disappointed in me. No one would even suggest that I shouldn't see a doctor or I should just pray it away. But when it comes to how we're doing mentally, we blame the people struggling, right? Or we think that they should feel that way. We'll say things like, don't think that way. Don't feel that way. Or my favorite, stop it. Just stop it, right? Those prescriptions that you're giving, they compound the problem. And what makes it worse is well-meaning Christians, they think they're quoting the Bible. They'll say dumb stuff like this. God never gives you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard that? Hey, that's all right, Josh. It's been tough, but God will never give me more than I can handle. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not even in the Bible. The verse that they're getting it from says you won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. This is about holiness, not difficulty. And here's the problem. When you misquote scripture, it adds to the pressure because we begin to think, well, I'm supposed to be able to handle this. And if I'm supposed to be able to handle this, why can't I? And we question ourselves and we question our worth and we question God. The reality is simply this. God will give you more than you can handle. God will give you more than you can handle. And you need to realize it. On your own, you're never going to make it. I mean, think about it this way, right? If you could do it all on your own, why would you need God at all? You need to become aware that God will give us more than we can handle, but he also promised that Jesus has come to find us, to heal us, to love us, and to rescue us. And that can change our perspective on pain. And so when it comes to physical pain, no one is embarrassed to seek help for a broken arm. But in the church, for as long as I can remember, we tend to blame the person actually struggling with mental health. If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that you're not a good Christian. You don't tell a man with a broken leg that because he struggles to walk, he's not a Christian. You don't call a bird with a broken wing not a bird, but you also don't expect that bird to be able to fly. But because of the way Christians have handled mental health, when our mental health deteriorates, there's shame involved in it. And we question ourselves, and so many of the people who love God are breaking because they've been forced into silence. They've been plagued with guilt and shame. So as Jesus follows, we need to end the stigma of seeking help when it comes to our mental health. See, at some point in our lives, every single one of us, at some point, every one of us would benefit from seeing a counselor. Not only that, and this is important, God can use medicine. God can use medicine. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying God can't help with this, but I am saying God created the doctors who created the medicines that you might need. God can help in so many ways that aren't miraculous healing. In fact, when you go to a doctor, you're not saying God can't help me. You're trusting how God wired other people to help you. And many people need prayer and professional help. And if that's you, there's no shame in seeking help. You aren't less of a Christian if you need medicine. Some of the most caring, loving, godly people I know were prescribed medicine. But you need to know the factors that are involved as biological, environmental, and circumstantial. So we're going to let the doctors deal with the biological, and we're going to focus this whole series over the next month over the environmental and the circumstantial. Where we place ourselves, what we listen to, what do we do when we receive that life-wrecking news? And we're going to address all of that as we try to assemble this life that can bend and doesn't have to break. Now, as a Jesus follower, our response to mental health should be this. We should pray about it, absolutely. We should pray about it. We should invite God into the problem. We should seek and pursue his peace. We pray for God to heal us, and some of us still need to go see a doctor. And for this series, we have some resources. It's in our app. It's in our website. Places we've suggested you go, doctors you can visit, places that you can call, books that you could read to help you get the help you need. Now with all of that, the church has gotten this wrong for so long. Even though I said all of that, some people will still ask this question. Josh, can I follow God and still struggle with mental health? Like, that's great. But can I still follow God and have? Yes. Yes. You're not less of a Jesus follower if you struggle. In fact, if you actually read your Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, you'll discover Jeremiah wrestled with loneliness and defeat and insecurity. In fact, his nickname was called, he was called the Weeping Prophet. Would you imagine just showing up at church and everybody calls you crybaby, right? That's Jeremiah, right? Cursed be the day I was born, he says. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see the trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? Jonah was used by God to deliver an important message, but he got so frustrated, he told God, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. And one of the greatest prophets in all of the Old Testament, Elijah, he got to a place mentally where he told God, I've had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. And so when you struggle and when you hurt, you need to know that God used people to write parts of the Bible and they could raise their hands and say, me too. You're not alone. So if some idiot tells you can't follow God and be depressed and you can't follow God and feel frustrated and feel hopeless, tell that idiot to read their Bible. Right? Because these people were absolutely people that God loved and they struggled. They were at war, but they didn't lose sight of who God was. So you're not less of a Jesus follower if you struggle. The problem is when you and I quit fighting. I'm telling you, God's not done with you. God's got more for you. Now, since it's Mother's Day, we're going to go all girl power. We're going to look at a mom who teaches us one of the most critical steps to mental health. And not only that, I believe it's one of the most critical steps to actually following Jesus. And it's called this surrender. Surrender. Because here's what I know about you, right? You probably had a plan for how your life would be this Mother's Day. I mean, I think we have this in common. In our head, we thought by now we had this version, this picture, this idea, this plan of how we thought our life should be today. But there's this mom in scripture who shows us what to do and who to trust when it's not the way that we think it should be, when life is uncertain. Because uncertainty breeds anxiety. In fact, my daughter, Callie, she knew I was preaching this message. She sent me this meme. Hey, sorry for being so anxious earlier. I had no idea everything would be fine. Right? uncertainty breeds anxiety. And when we're uncertain, things like clarity and hope are hard to come by. You and I can't say with any real confidence that at the end of the day, we will get to where we intended to go. And today, I want to look at the life of a woman who is in the middle of uncertainty. And I have to warn you that if you fast forward to the end of her life, you're going to be tempted. Oh, that girl's a rock star. Right? What are you talking about? Right? In fact, people all over the world will celebrate her every single year. So if you just gloss over her life, you'll be tempted to think she doesn't struggle at all. But you need to realize that this woman is not some flannel graph superhero. No, she didn't know the end of her story. She's trapped in the middle of her story. So today we're going to jump into the middle of her story to see how she didn't let the circumstances of life break her. And it's important to acknowledge before this moment, she had a plan for her life. She knew how her year was going to go because she was engaged. She was going to have a wedding. She had a plan, but in the middle of her real life story, her future became uncertain. So if you have your Bible or mobile device, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 1. It's the first book of the New Testament. We've been doing a New Testament Bible reading plan. We're basically at the end of Matthew. We're at week 19. It's not too late to jump into week 20 this next week. In fact, I'd ask you to do that in June. All of our sermons in June are going to come out of what we've just read together as a congregation. So start this week, week 20 this week. But today we're in Matthew 1. And it's the first book of the New Testament. And the very first part of Matthew, I'll be honest, kind of boring. It reads like biblicalancestry.com. It's about the genealogy of Jesus. And so Matt shows us how this account is actually rooted in the lives of real people. But in verse 18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, in this time in history, the couple's engagement was arranged by the parents of the bride and groom, which would be kind of crazy if you thought about that today. I've got a 21-year-old daughter. I'm thinking it's a good idea, right? Now, this is a pledge that was legally binding. So even though this actual ceremony hadn't taken place, the contract had. And scripture goes on to say, but before they came together, this is Mother's Day, so I'm going to go, that means what you think it means. There was a contract, but no contact. Like, this was during the engagement period. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, which sounds beautiful, unless it's you. This is not good news for Mary and Joseph's relationship. I mean, Mary's about 14 years old and pregnant. So just imagine your 14-year-old daughter comes home pregnant, and happy Mother's Day, Mom, you're going to be a grandma, right? She was found to be pregnant. I just want those words to sink in. That means old Joe doesn't know, right? And make it worse, we don't know how he found out. Maybe Joseph saw her at a distance and found out she was starting to show. I mean, can you imagine the feelings associated with that first encounter? She was found to be pregnant. See, the problem is you just read your Bible. No, you got to feel your Bible. I want you to feel how embarrassing it would be to have your fiance running all over town saying, God got her pregnant. See, we sanitized this account, but it was really very scandalous how God came into the world. To which you might say, Josh, what does this have to do with mental health? Some of the greatest challenges to our mental health is actually reconciling where we want our lives to go, how we want our lives to feel compared to the constant tension and challenges and struggles that you and I will face. See, these are not Bible people. They're people. People like you and people like me with their own fears and stresses and pressures, just like us. They're just as human and just as unaware as you are right now as when they walked this earth 2,000 years ago. I'm telling you, and Mary proves it. In fact, if you read Luke, he says this, check out her response. She says, how can this happen? This is overwhelming. Her mind is reeling. Like, how can this happen? Do you know what this means? I think it means this, that the number one barrier to God's plan for your life is your plan. See, when it comes to our mental health and when it comes to our perspective of where we think things need to go and who we're going to marry and if we're going to have kids and if we're going to land a good job and if we're going to be a good grandma, like, we had a plan of how it should go. But here's the reality. You experienced the death of a relationship, the death of a dream, the death of a plan. It's not what you had planned. Now, if you don't follow Jesus, you just got to figure out what you're going to do with all of that. Who are you going to trust when life doesn't go as planned? But if you call yourself a Jesus follower, you don't have any choice. See, you have to recognize that God's plan for your life, get this, it might be better than your plan. Let me just ask it this way. What if you actually trusted that God's plan was actually better than your plan? What if you actually trusted that God's plan was better for your kids or your marriage or your job or even your health? What if you just stopped trying to control everything and stopped trying to manipulate everything and stopped trying to steer everything and how to how you envision your life? What if you actually trusted that God's plan was better? Would that change anything? I think so. So when the life-wrecking challenges and tensions come, what if you just simply trusted that God's plan must be better? Would that relieve any tension, any pressure? If you thought in the middle of this difficulty, God is just preparing me for something, would it change anything about the worry and the anxiety and the struggle that you and I live out every day if that was our perspective? I mean, all of that to say, don't let your plans make you miss God's purpose. Don't let your plans make you miss God's purpose, because the number one barrier to God's plan for your life is your plan. Now, I need to warn you, if you continue reading this account, God's plan does not remove the pain or difficulty or even the dilemma. Because in the ancient world, this is a small town. So everybody's pointing, everybody's whispering, everybody has an opinion. Their families are shamed forever. They were never seen as the righteous people that they actually were. That negative reputation followed Joseph and Mary and Jesus their whole lives. I'm telling you, it never went away. To which you might say, Josh, that's kind of depressing. Oh, yeah, it is. But you know what Mary did? She did what every Jesus follower is commanded to do. She just surrendered. She surrendered her plans and her desire and her life and trusted in the promises of Jesus. And for Jesus followers, this is our daily decision. This is our constant commitment. We aren't just letting life happen to us. No, we're surrendering the good, the bad, the ugly parts of our life to Jesus, trusting that he actually has good plans. Don't let your plans make you miss God's purpose. Now, here's the problem. It won't solve every mental challenge you have. In fact, come back next week. We're going to get super practical. And the reality is, as I don't know where you would rate yourself on this scale, but here I do know this, that you had a plan for your life. And at some point in your life, things might not be going as planned. So see, what Mary was doing is she was staring down the unknown of where God was leading her, just like you are staring down the unknown of your life. And in that very same situation, Mary found what I want you to have today. Mary found hope. She made a choice. This is how she said, I'm the Lord's servant. So I'm submitting to you. I'm surrendering to you. I trust that you know better than I do. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. I look at how the Berean Study Bible translated, may it happen to me according to your word. The New American Standard Version says, may it be done to me according to your word. I know, God, this isn't going to be easy, and I don't know what challenge I'm going to face, but I'm choosing to place my hope in God. God, I want to just take you at your word. Now, hear me. I'm not saying you don't need to see a counselor. I know some of you. You definitely need to see a counselor. And I'm not saying you don't need medicine. People who love God still need medicine. But if we're going to bend and not break, we have to surrender. So my challenge for you this week is every day this week, if you follow Jesus or not, pray this prayer. Father, I surrender every part of my life, my past, my present, my future, to you. I give up my own way to walk in faith, taking you at your word, believing your plans are always better. So in weakness and strength and joy and sorrow, I will follow you. We have to surrender. We have to take him at his word. I'm telling you, life is uncertain. And when I feel anxious and you feel anxious, we all still have a choice. Are we going to choose to take him at his word? Now, if you follow Jesus, the reality is it's going to cost you something. So what are you going to give up to follow Jesus? Mary was willing to give up her dreams and her plans to sacrifice her reputation to take God at his word. And get this, when she did this, she had no idea how everything was going to turn out. From the greatest darkness Mary and Joseph ever faced came the greatest hope the world could embrace. So what are you willing to give up to follow Jesus. I mean, think about it this way. We have an advantage over Mary. We have the perspective of history. We can stand in this moment and look back through the lens of the cross of Christ and see that God has a track record of turning messes into miracles. So where have you failed to take him at his word? You see, when I struggle, when my life seems to be spiraling out of control, my self-talk goes a little something like this. I begin to believe that God stopped loving me, that he's abandoned me, that he's forgotten me, and it's all on me. So when I'm consumed with worry about my kids or my cash or my career, you know what that should do? It should alert me that I've given up on the promise. See, where have you failed to take him at his word? See, when you are immersed into Christ, when you're baptized into Christ, your past does not define you. No, your destiny is in Jesus. Your identity is in Jesus. And so that means no matter what you're currently facing, this is not the last page of your life story. God's not done with you. God's got more for you. We just got to take him at his word. God, if you said it, I believe it. If you start it, you'll complete it. Where have you failed to take him at his word? Because God's word says you're chosen and you're adopted. You're now his child. You're more than a friend. Just take him at his word. His word says that you are loved and you're forgiven and you're accepted. His word says no matter what you're dealing with, you are worthy. He's given you a mission. He's not done with you. He's got more for you. May be done to me according to your word. Just take him at his word. His word says that you are a new creation, that you can be restored. In fact, no matter what you look like right now, he calls you his masterpiece. Just take him at his word. He says, by his word, you're set free from sin. You've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. He predestined you to become like Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. Just take him at his word. His word is leading you to have a sound mind. A strong mind. Just take him at his word. He's not done with you. He's got more for you. His word will never leave you and never says he'll never leave you. He'll never give up on you. He'll never accuse you. He'll never ever abandon you. No, he came to rescue you. Would you just take him at his word? I mean, where have you failed to take him at his word? Now, God will give you more than you can handle. That is absolutely true. It's also true, alone you will never be enough. But Jesus is enough. His power is enough. His grace is enough. His friendship is enough. His strength is enough. His blood is enough. His grace is enough. So just take him at his word. He's not done with you. He's got more for you. I'm telling you, when you take him at his word, there's freedom on the other side, and there's purpose on the other side. There's forgiveness right on the other side. There's grace on the other side. This Mother's Day, just take him at his word.
Thank you so much for joining us for Victory on Demand. Here at Victory, we believe that we all have a next step, and we pray that God uses what you've experienced here today to stir something in your life and to lead you to the next step in your faith journey, whatever that may be. If you'd like to talk to someone about taking your next step, please let us know by clicking the button that's popping up on your screen right now. Here at Victory, we're contributors, not just consumers, and we consider it a privilege to give back what God has so freely given to us. We celebrate generosity in the work that God does through our sacrificial giving in our community and around the world. If your experience today has helped you or blessed you in any way, we invite you to partner with us financially in our vision of connecting people back to God by going to victorycc.live/give. Again, if you haven't experienced a live Victory service yet, we invite you to visit victorycc.live for more information on when and where you can join us in person or online. Remember, here at Victory, we don't just go to church. We are the church everywhere we go. We'll see you next time.